We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the Built Ford Talk Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. What a frustrating loss for the Rangers. A game they really never should have lost after dominating after two periods. And the third period going in a different direction. Should have been up 2-0, 3-0 in this game. Antti Raanta was very good. The Rangers couldn't bury the puck, especially on that kid line with Kaapo Kakko with the wide-open net. And, of course, Filipetal with an opportunity as well and a great save there. Shesterkin was really, really good in this game. Defensively, the Rangers played the best game they might have played the entire playoffs. But, of course, Sebastian Aho ties it with a really skilled play to stick with the puck after a Shesterkin save. And then, of course, a, I don't know if you want to call it fluky, overtime goal. You get a player who's not a goal scorer just throwing the puck towards the net, hits Lindgren's stick, and that's it. And the Rangers are down 1-0 in a series. They should be up 1-0 because they played their asses off. I don't know what's worse. That game that they played where they were just awful against the Penguins and didn't look like they wanted to compete and then just got, you know, you flush that game and you move on. Or a game like last night where you were beating the brakes off that team and you couldn't get it done. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning, Gio. I think you captured everything pretty much spot on. I you know, the thing about it from a Rangers fan's perspective, now we know how the Penguins fans feel after Game 7.
Yeah.
And the perspective is that, you know, they were just sitting back in the third period. You know, it was like being very careful, quick changes, trying to play defense. Panarin loafed back on that first goal by Aho. You know, something's going on with him. I don't know whether it's injury. We're not really sure. You know, he had the snipe the other night in Game 7, but hasn't done much. They didn't generate any offense, really any offense, from their top two lines. It was their bottom two lines that generated most of the offense. I mean, and Antti Raanta, their former teammate, backup to Henrik Lundqvist, is a guy who had an amazing game in the first two periods. He kept them in the game. And it was like Igor didn't have to do much the first two. And I was like, fine, this is great. This is, you're protecting your young goalie. You're playing against a really good team. And then all of a sudden, they stopped like the offensive push in the third period. And they were trying to sit on a one-goal lead, which, you know, it's tough to do. I mean, I appreciate the attention to defense. I appreciate they were running a 1-2-2 there for a while, which I hadn't seen a lot of. And to me, it looked great on defense. And this is what I wanted. I wanted to see them protect the home net. But somehow there's got to be a balance. There's got to be more scoring opportunities from the Rangers. And remember, I did say that the Rangers' power play struggles against this penalty kill unit.
Yeah.
They took the first power play of the game and then promptly gave it right back. And then there was not another power play the entire game. So there are a million things to look at here. All I know is that I feel really disappointed for the players. I really do. I mean, they played hard last night. They blocked shots last night. They still have a problem in the faceoff dot, especially important faceoffs. Igor made some tough saves in the third period. There's no question about that. And then the final goal in overtime goes off of Ryan Lindgren's stick. I mean, this is hockey. This is what hockey's all about. It could be exhilarating. It could be frustrating. And certainly it could be maddening. And losing a game like that was maddening. Now, meantime, while this game was 2-1, it was blah, 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 a lot of defense. There wasn't a lot of shots being generated. The game after this went to 9-6
incredible.
In Calgary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between the
incredible
Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames. But, hey, look, it's game one. Now they got to go get game two on Friday night. That's all there is to it. I think both teams were kind of feeling each other out.
Especially early, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, you were talking about withstanding that Carolina Hurricane charge in the beginning of the game, and that's what I was kind of expecting from them. I think a lot of people were, and it never really came. I mean, that building, which is known to be pretty raucous, was dead early on after the Rangers scored. I mean, for the majority of the first and second period, I mean, it felt like a regular season game from the standpoint of the building. And I was just, I said, man, the Rangers came in there and they basically, you know, sucked the life out of Carolina. And they did. So that's why it was just, it's so incredibly frustrating. Because that was, you know, some of the things that the Penguins were lacking in the series, the Rangers were lacking against the series against the Penguins. They brought all of that into this game, into this matchup, which was so encouraging.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it really felt like, man, they learned their lesson in that series against the Penguins, and now they've brought it in here, and who knows? If Shesterkin plays well, who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, that's the worst that they play is in that first-round series, and here comes a run, and they couldn't finish it off. I mean, and even the Aho goal, I mean, Shesterkin makes an unbelievable save on that. He just couldn't. I mean, the rebound was there, and Aho, I mean, to think about the skill to keep yourself that balanced, to be able to get that rebound and then put it into the net. I mean, that's why he's one of the best players in hockey. I mean, that was just an incredible goal there to stop, turn.
Well, there was nobody around him.
Yeah, I mean, but,
And the reason that there was nobody around him is that two of your best players, you know, weren't really busting it getting back, and that's Mika and Panarin, who happened to be on the ice at the same time. Now, Panarin could have been at the end of a shift. I'm not really sure, but you know, it was just, it was frustrating because Kako had the open net, as you said, in the second period. Lafreniere had a great shot. It hit a post. Niederreiter hit a post for them. Sometimes, you know, it just doesn't go your way and things happen. While I am very disappointed this morning, don't get me wrong, I'm kind of like happy with the way that
you're encouraged that they
I'm encouraged the way they played defensively. Yeah. I thought Keandre Miller had one of his best games in the playoffs this year. Even though that I think he and Braden Schneider on the ice for the breakaway for Niederreiter, he got the pass from Jesper Fast. So I don't know. It was kind of like you're just sitting there. I know how all of the Ranger fans were doing because I was doing the same thing. I'm sitting here going, I know this is not good. This is not good. They're not generating enough offense here, especially once you got under like 5 minutes to go in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep chipping it out, and then eventually somebody is going to score for them. Just they're too good, and that's I kind of feel like that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, Kako also had another opportunity, not on the open net, but the Rangers thought it was a penalty because he lost an edge or something.
Well, he was slashed. He was 100% slashed, and I tweeted out last night, definite 100% slash every time. Especially when you're ahead of the defense, the way that he got ahead of the defense. And the defense comes back and they do whatever they need to do. And if you hit the opposing player with your stick while he has the puck on his stick up by his hands, that's an automatic slashing penalty. And it was not called, but that's hockey. That's
playoff hockey. Yeah.
It was just obvious for anybody, especially Ranger fans, that we saw that particular play happened to be a penalty that was not called.
So where you're at right now, it sounds like, is that it's as annoying of a loss as it was, as frustrating as a loss. You didn't necessarily expect them to play that well or play that type of way against Carolina.
I thought it was going to be like a 5-4 game. That's what I thought it was going to be, and it turned out to be a 1-1 game going into overtime. And Igor did not have that much really to do, considering what he had just gotten through.
Oh, my goodness.
Or came through against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Look, Carolina is a very good hockey team. They forecheck like crazy. And then the other thing, you got to remember, Rob Brind'Amour, their coach, he changed up the lines in the third period significantly. I mean, he was moving guys all over the place, and that seemed to ignite them, especially in the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it did, because the first two periods, as we mentioned, they were completely dead. I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes were completely dead. He recognized that he needed to do something. He did something and it worked, but it almost didn't work because that Aho goal didn't come until 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go.
But they were generating
in the
more.
Third
they were
period.
Generating
but
they were more. Yeah. They were getting more turnovers. They were winning more faceoffs. The predominance of play was in the Ranger zone in the third quarter. So that was third period. So that was it's one of those games. You wake up this morning, it's like I can't believe they lost that game. But then there are those games like game seven against Pittsburgh, you're like, oh man, I can't believe they won that game.
Yeah, sure.
So this is part of the drama that will play out, hopefully, through a long series here, and hopefully the Rangers on Friday night can get the second game back.
Yeah, I think you got to feel, now, I don't know if you will or not, but I think you got to feel a little bit better about the coach after last night, no? I mean, the fact that it seemed like there were some adjustments made.
No, I do. I mean, look, I'm not in here like I was last week.
Yeah.
Screaming and yelling about, you know, the lack of effort, you know, the helter-skelter play in the defensive zone and putting Igor out on an island. That was not the case last night. Last night was defensive first. They played better. They just didn't generate enough five-on-five offensive opportunities with their top two lines. I think Ryan Strom had one, you know, grade A opportunity. Kreider and Mika, I didn't even see them last night. I mean, they were there and they were skating up and down, and but they did not get involved. There was nothing. There was no like extended. Let's stay in their zone and let's buzz around. I mean, Ryan Reeves had more shots and better shots than Mika Zibanejad did. And, you know, that is not a recipe for winning for the Rangers. Mika's got to be in the middle of it. Kreider's got to be in the middle of it. And he and those guys in Petrano never got going. You know, what's his name? Gallant basically changed up some of the lines in Game 7 against Pittsburgh, and it worked. And it worked where Kopp actually fed Mika, and Mika scored the goal to tie the game, I believe it was. So, you know, he does do some of that, but that's not really his nature. His nature is roll four lines. You play whoever's against you out there, and you got to know who's out there. And that's the thing that kind of bothers me a little bit. But last night they played their asses off. They gave great effort. They lost. It was a freak goal in the overtime. But that is NHL hockey. That is playoff hockey. Now they got to regroup. And they somehow, their top players have got to play better offensively and be more committed defensively, especially late in the game, as they weren't last night.
All right, so the Rangers down 1-0 against Carolina. The other big story that came out of last night was Max Scherzer leaving. Mets win, which was nice to see, and the fourth game of that series will be played today. But Max Scherzer leaving the game and immediately knowing something was wrong, doing the throat slash sign in the sixth inning, and then that was the end of it. So there is a video of Jeremy Hefner, the Mets pitching coach, in the dugout talking to somebody, and when you lip read it, as John Boy has lip read it, he goes, "It's just his back, nothing bad." So backs can be a problem, clearly, but it's not as if it was, you know, shoulder, an arm or an elbow or a shoulder or
scapula.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, it's his side that's going to turn into, you know, something else.
That's what a lot of people thought, that it was going to be an oblique situation. Yeah. So we'll see. There's going to be an MRI done later today. But, of course, you know, when you don't have Jacob DeGrom, you lose Tyler McGill, and now you've got an injury here that we don't know exactly the extent of with Max Scherzer. And the Mets are certainly going through it a little bit here, like I feel like they always do. I mean, every single year. I mean, this is one of those, you know, classic. You could change the manager, you could change the uniforms, you could change. I mean, everybody gets hurt.
Yes.
Every year, everybody gets hurt. So here we go again, and hopefully the lineup itself can stay intact offensively for the most part. Even though you had the Nimmo's issue, and you know, I mean, everybody's hurt. it's just amazing.
Well, it was just nice to see Pete Alonso hit a home run last night.
Right, exactly. Line drive shot.
Right, and to think that this lineup put up 11 runs, that's pretty good.
That was great. That was great. But I mean, you know, this is exactly what everybody's fear was. Now, we don't know the Scherzer injury, but you know, having those two guys, but not really having those two guys. That's what everybody's fear was. That was a Met fan going into the season, but got DeGrom and Scherzer. But you know, DeGrom last season, you barely saw the guy, and he ended up being out for the year. We haven't seen him in a long time. We don't know what the hell he's going to be. Turns out, nothing is what he is because he hasn't pitched. And then Max Scherzer is, you know, in his late 30s and had a dead arm issue towards the end of last year. So what are you going to get from him? So, like, the negativity person going into the year, the negative Met fan, you know, some of those feelings are being validated right now with Scherzer leaving that game.
You know what's amazing? Right now, as we speak, the number one pitcher in Major League Baseball is
The number one pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it could be, you know, ERA.
Nestor Cortez?
No. In Major League Baseball right now, number one is Justin Verlander.
Wow.
Who basically, you know, was shut down, missed almost 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
He's got a 1.38 ERA, and he is pitching his ass off. So the question, like, I have to ask you now, when Jacob DeGrom does come back, if Jacob DeGrom does come back, and he opts out of his contract, are you going to give him a contract extension looking at Justin Verlander, or is somebody else going to give him a contract extension? Because, you know, the Mets are tired of all the injuries, all the missed starts, all the things that come along with a guy that, you know, basically you has grown up here, and it's just like he can't ever seem to get his act together. Does he go somewhere else and get his
I think he's going to remain a Met. There's no doubt about it. It's either going to be one of two things. One, he can't get back on the field this year and look like anything like himself, so then he's not going to opt out. Or he does come back, looks great. The Mets have a postseason run, and Steve Cohen knows that you can't get rid of him, and you can't let him walk, and he pays him what he needs to pay him. One of those two things are going to happen. It's not going to go anywhere else.
It's one of those really, it's going to be one of those difficult, and then still we don't know the answer simply because we haven't seen Jacob DeGrom. And as long as he's not here, and we are now, you know, getting towards the second half of May, and we thought maybe, just maybe, he'd be ready to go somewhere around June. That doesn't look to be the case right now.
No, it does not, even though every story you hear and every MRI that comes across, there is improvement. I mean, it doesn't really matter to the Mets fan until he is out there pitching and, you know, pitching consistently.
And look, he's been legitimately injured. There's nothing really you could say about it. There's nothing else going on here. But you have to understand, like, the finances of baseball is like, he comes back and let's say he goes 5-0 and they do go into the playoffs and he looks good. I mean, are you giving him a 5-year contract extension at $200 million?
I mean, if you tell me that the Mets are in the World Series and Jacob DeGrom came back and won a Cy Young winning self, then the answer is yes. But, I mean, this is a really tough question to answer right now because there's so many variables. But there is a scenario in which, yes, I think that is likely.
I mean, there's a clear path to that.
Oh, yeah,
there's
without
no
a
question
doubt.
About it.
Without a doubt.
But that clear path hasn't started yet.
No. Which is alarming for everybody involved.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.